This is Phil Farrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I am on Christmas vacation. Although it's Thursday, so Christmas vacation is coming to an end. I think I mentioned this last week that it's so funny because, you know, you look forward to the week off. And then when it got there, I think I did mention this last week, I thought, oh, now it started. Now it'll be over. Now I'll have to wait a whole more year. But God is good. All is well. I did just have quite a little adventure. No, it's not an adventure. It's fine. It's just one of those things that you get into the middle of it and you start thinking, what is going on? So we are burying the power line to the little rock house that's on my property. We actually have a main pole where the electricity is, and there's a small line that goes over to a secondary pole because the secondary pole was there first and then they put in the main pole. So that line coming off that secondary pole just goes overhead to the rock house. Well, it goes underneath this gorgeous 150-year-old oak tree. I mean, the oak tree's just been there forever. And the sadness is that oak tree, of course, keeps trying to spread itself over that power line, and we keep chopping it back. So, I mean, we've just been butchering that poor oak tree, and my renter was really wanting to get that power line, take out more of the oak tree, and I was like, you know, this is a good old oak tree. And so then we talked, and he agreed that, yeah, but of course, you got to come up with a solution, because those oak branches are heavy, and they will just slaughter that line if they ever come down. That oak tree also survived the great ice storm that we had in 2007. Didn't lose any major branches or anything. I mean, it really, it's a strong old tree. So we thought, well, we'll go ahead and bury it. And so I had Southwest Electric come out, and we need a breakout box on it. So they're going to put a breakout box on it, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd been moving those pieces forward. One of the big pieces that we had to wait to move forward is the rock house was supplying power to the tower that we get our internet from. So I didn't want to take down power to the rock house, take down the internet. But just recently, I wrote the guys who are putting up the new fiber head end. And they said, yep, we're powered. We're powering the tower off our fiber head end. Good, okay. So now we're moving forward. I had filed for the building permit and had contacted Southwest Electric and moved some things around and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So anyways, today was the day to kind of run around and get all those things taken care of. Happily, I have gotten all those things taken care of. Yay, it's nice to accomplish something. So it's like 11:41 in the morning on Thursday, and those things are all taken care of. Now I'm heading home, and the job when I get home is to get my craft supplies organized. This is kind of once a year I try to get the costuming stuff under control. Yesterday I organized all the new costumes I had done in 2022. Got them all into the database, and cleaned up, and in boxes, and hanging up, and yada, yada, yada. So, that was all good. But when I was going out to Southwest Electric Cooperative to their, what is it called? Their office on Bluegrass. I think it's Bluegrass. The Bluegrass office, it's called. It's north of town, kind of out in my neck of the woods. And so Google said, yep, 13 minutes. Okay, great. You know, so I get out there and I'm getting close and it says, turn left. And so I see the road. And I turn left on the road. Little did I know that when they said turn left, they meant turn left on the driveway for Southwest Electric. Completely missed that. Yeah, so I turned left on a farm road and then it was like, okay. And I didn't hear it recalculate. turn down here, turn down there. 6 minutes later, you know, I'm like half a block from this thing. 6 minutes later, I'm wandering down through residential areas wondering, what in the world, where am I going? Why do they have them office here? You know, but then once I looped all the way back to my starting point and saw where I had not turned left, it was like, oh yeah, okay. Now we know where we are, so user error. I don't think I'm the first person to do that because I mentioned it to the people who were behind the desk and the guy just put back his head and laughed. He had heard that story before. Update on the car. I think I had mentioned last week that my little Lincoln Continental, the old preacher car, transmission is going out on it. And I have this whole year been testifying to the goodness and playfulness of God and talked about breadcrumbs and how God guides and leads and all those things. And so when I started into this, I just thought, okay, so here we go. Obviously, this car is a 1998. Now, it only has 116,000 miles on it, but it's a 1998. It is in pretty good shape. Leather seats, rides good, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have done work on it. It's a great car. Runs like a top. But it's a 1998. And rebuilding the transmission is between $2,000 and $2,500. So, in a sane world, that translates to, sure, just go buy yourself another $5,000 car that you can drive for 5 years. That's when we make this transition. And so I thought, well, Jesus, here we go. So you're going to help me find a car, and it's going to be the right car. It's going to be the one, and we'll just take care of this, and I'll just follow your breadcrumbs. It'll be an adventure. So really quickly, I settled on a Honda Fit. I probably mentioned this last week. Very quickly, I settled on a Honda Fit because of the seating in the back, because of the room it has, because of the costumes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, started looking, found some things, was quite surprised at the pricing on them. Used car prices are crazy right now. And had been talking with friends and looking and, you know, chatting and agreeing with everyone that now was not the time to buy a used car. But, you know, I'm thinking, well, that's fine. We'll see what we can find. And what I had found was a 2017 Honda Fit that had been rebuilt, that was in Russellville, Arkansas, 3 hours away. A friend had already volunteered to go with me down there to pick it up. Seemed to be, you know, it was the EXL trim package, leather seats, a lot of fancies, you know. It was actually down in the right range, which was astonishing, because I had picked up a little app that allowed me to see what retail prices were now, plus allowed me to see what they were if they had projected forward from COVID. Like, if COVID hadn't happened, what would it look like? Because I think the spike in prices has only happened in 2022, from what I saw on the charts. Or maybe it was late 2021 and then through 2022. And there was a spike. It was an astonishing spike in used car prices. So this guy had this listed for $9,900. You look on all those little charty things, and they say that this car right now with 44,000 miles on it should be listing for about $20,000. It's a 2017. The car is 5 years old. It has 44,000 miles on it, and $20,000, which is crazy. But when I pulled up the Carfax on it, because it was salvaged and rebuilt, then it wasn't $20,000. It was $15,000, because it's about 75%. Okay, well, if you look at the projected prices for that same car with that trim package, if there was no COVID, that car would still be somewhere around $12,000. Okay, well, this person, I don't know, had it listed for $9,900, and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, I can talk him down to $9,000, and we'll do this deal. It'll be great. Then I started working around with the Motor Vehicle Bureau as to what I would have to do in Missouri to get it titled. And I... oh, man. I called the Motor Vehicle Bureau 3 times, got 2 different answers. Critically different answers. The first 2 people I talked to said, oh, yeah, well, you're going to have a list of all the repairs that have been done on that, and then you're going to have to turn that in, and then you're going to have to file a 551 form, and you're going to have to do this. And I'm like, what? You know. And so eventually I talked to a 3rd person who said, no, I didn't have to do that. If it had already been rebuilt and had a rebuilt title, you just send it in here and you're fine. That was later. So, you know, we went through all those little hoops. And that was all on Monday. And I had corresponded with the seller and said, I'd like some pictures. There were some pictures of the interior that were missing. Like, you could see the dash, but you couldn't actually see the driver and passenger seat, and you couldn't actually see the seats in the back. So I asked him to send me some pictures of those, and he said, well, I'll do that tomorrow, which would have been Tuesday. He never wrote me back. And then I wrote him about, do you have a list of the repairs that have been done on this car? Because that was before I knew I didn't have to do that. He just quit talking to me. So I was like, well, okay. So there you go. I found another one that was in Wichita, Kansas. Same kind of deal, but the guy was much farther from what would be a realistic price if COVID hadn't happened. And so it was, it hadn't had nearly as much damage, and it looked good, and everything was fine. It was an LX trim pattern, blah, blah, blah. So I just wrote him and gave him all the numbers and nothing. So Monday night, I was kind of just befuddled. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do, and I talked to my good friend Tim Strathy. I said, hey buddy, got time to chat about cars? And so we just started running all the scenarios. And you know what? Just in the process of doing that, I don't know if Tim said it or I said it or people had joked to me about doing it, I just got to the place where I thought, you know, I could just put a transmission in that 1998 Lincoln Continental that runs good, that only has 116,000 miles on it, I could just go back, put a transmission in this thing for $2,500, and ta-da, I've got a car that I can drive for at least 2 more years. Because I've done a lot of the mechanical stuff on it already, and I just thought I can just buy myself some time so I don't have to get a car, maybe before I retire. You know, if I can drive it until I retire, then I'll drive the wheels off the thing. And, I mean, now, honestly, now, the car's 25 years old. It's an antique. So, I went and looked at the body and all that kind of stuff today, and it's got a few little rust spots on it, but I could get me some Bondo and repair that up, replace the transmission. It's a good car. Who knows? I might be able to drive that car for multiple years to come till we get through this craziness. But when people say now is not a time to buy a good a used car, they are absolutely right. I don't know if I related this story. I don't think I did. I don't think I did. Maybe I did. If I did, just fast forward. I found a 2008 Honda Fit that had 80 some odd thousand miles on it. This is 2008. A 2008 Honda Fit had 80 some odd thousand miles on it. They were asking 10.9 at a dealership. 10.9. And by the time I got down there, it was already under contract. It had only been listed for a couple of days. I found a 2015 that has 151,000 miles on it, that was listed for 10.9. Went down and drove it. I love those Honda Fits. I mean, they are. When the Lincoln goes out, this is what I'm buying. I'm buying a Honda Fit. Because, man, I got in that car. First of all, I do fit in the Fit. You know, I mean, it's a subcompact, but I was very comfortable in that car. And the seats do all these really interesting things. And man, it's a good car. I like it a lot. So we'll see. I will get into one of those at some point. But it's just, it's interesting. You know, Jesus did give me a lot of breadcrumbs to get there. It didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. But sometimes things don't. I just couldn't get in my brain that when everybody else said, yeah, this isn't the right time to buy a car, they were really serious. If you're trying to buy a used car right now, you are 50 to 60% higher than what the standards used to be on used cars. And I read an article that said in 2023, they're expecting the used car prices to come down by like at least 20%. I'd be surprised if they don't come down more than 20%. I really would, because you can look at the graph. You can go to something like an Edmunds or KBB, Kelley Blue Book, has these type of charts at all, where you can see the overall prices of used cars, and you see this big hump in July and June, and then everything's downhill. So we're just not downhill far enough now. So anyways, that's interesting. So the little Lincoln goes in the transmission shop on Tuesday. We'll see what there is to see there. We'll get it fixed up. May even start treating that car a little better now. Get it detailed out, get it cleaned up, may even get fancy with it. They make now, I've started to look at them, they make all kinds of these LCD panel, Android, Apple Play replacements for your stereo, where the box just goes in where the stereo is, and then there's a floating panel in front of it. So I may go ahead and dress up the little buggy a bit and get one of those as well, just to start treating it a little better. But anyway, so it's fun. God is good. God is good. So at this point, spend $2,500, $3,000, dress up the Lincoln a little bit, drive it for 2-3 more years, and we'll go from there. And everything will be fine, because Jesus will help us. It is the end of 2022. And it's been a fascinating year. It's been fascinating to see how things are going in the country, and it's been fascinating to watch the election. It's really a fascinating year. Looking forward to 2023, there are a lot of pieces moving. I mean, the energy industries, there's a lot of competition in the energy industries, a lot of conflicts going on in the energy industries. Be interesting to see what comes out there. The border. Be interesting to see how long we can keep ignoring the border like it's not a problem. You know, because even now, some of the liberal cities, some of the liberal states are starting to say, look, it's too much. We can't handle this. You know, never mind that the cities in Texas have just been overloaded now for going on 2 years. So there's a lot of stuff happening there. A lot of stuff happening in AI as well. I mean, I was just listening to a podcast on the latest advances with AI, and they mentioned a couple of things that if I'd heard, I'd forgotten. But I think it's a company in Israel has already developed small drones that have an explosive charge on them that can be deployed autonomously to target individuals and just fly up to them and fly into their head and blow their explosive charge. Great. That's great. And some of these kinds of things have been, not that specifically, but like autonomous drones that just attack convoys have been deployed in Libya, you know, war-torn state where everybody goes to test their toys. And, you know, the damage scenarios that they're talking about is that you fly a plane over a city and you just release, you know, 20,000, 30,000, 50,000, 500,000 of these drones, drop them out the back, and they just go and just blow up the bad people, whoever they are. So weaponized drones, weaponized autonomous systems, those things are already here. That's going to be an interesting future. On this podcast, they were also mentioning that some scientists took an AI and they took off all the restraints and they set it loose to try to find deadly substances, because why not? Just to see what would happen. And they said they took this AI and gave it the assignment of designing deadly substances, and in 6 hours, it had designed 40,000 deadly substances. And later evaluation showed that some of them were as bad as the worst nerve gases that we have ever produced. Great. Great. Of course, AI is going to be making some really amazing breakthroughs. We're already at the front edge. We're already at the front edge of the code programming AIs. There's some of them out there already. Some of them are kind of, they work with humans, and some of them will just design websites and things for you. So those things are on the move. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see where we are at the end of 2023. I cannot believe that it's going to be more than a year or two before we will have an AI that we can just point at a database and then describe to it the types of things that types of data that data holds. And it will, A, build all the interfaces that you need it to build and respond to any criticisms or adjustments that you would want, or B, completely normalize all the data, build all the transformation routines, because it's not that hard at the end of the day. So I really expect that 2023, 2024 at the latest, I very much expect before I retire, God willing, in July of 2025, I fully expect that we are going to have massive AI systems that can automate business processes for businesses like the Assemblies of God headquarters, and they'll just revolutionize everything. You know, there'll be full mobile implementations of everything, and there just won't be any reason not to do it. I just fully expect that that's going to happen. So it'll be interesting to see where we end up, where we are at the end of 2023. It'll be very interesting to see where we're at politically, 2023, 2024. Because we are moving politically and moving within ideology, sociologically, religiously, we are well beyond at this point any rationalism, any rational discussion of issues. We have fully descended at this point into contentions that are simply precast in us versus them. And there is so much information that is limited and that is embraced with religious fervor that you just can't even have a conversation. I know two different families. Well, more than two, three. Probably wouldn't take me very long to come up with multiple examples where either driving left or driving right, families have been torn apart. And they can't even talk they just can't even talk about it because everyone is so entrenched in their beliefs. So that's going to be very interesting to watch over 2023 to see if that just keeps getting worse. I don't, aside from some sort of revival and an embracing of love God and love your neighbor, I don't see how that stops. I don't see how anything, because the people who are convinced of what they are convinced of, you can't even talk to them. I mean, there's just no point. And when you see such massive institutions like the corporate press, governmental systems that decide what's going to happen, and then they're willing to stamp out and suppress free speech, and then even after it comes out that they stamped out and suppressed free speech illegally, according to our Constitution, you've got the FBI just coming out and said, well, it's really a shame that the conspiracy theorists are, and this, what conspiracy? Look, they've got all the emails. What are you talking about, conspiracy? Well, that's all just misinformation. Oh, okay. And then when you've got not only the government doing that, but then the corporate press just completely ignoring the story. Completely, just... like la da da la 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 la, they're just going on. Yeah, I saw a political cartoon the other day. It said democracy dies in darkness, which I think is the Washington Post or the New York Times tagline. That's all it said. It was kind of in a dark room, and then Hunter Biden's laptop was just sitting there open. I mean, it, you know, no, it's just so fascinating. Be interesting to see just how long the corporate press can keep this stuff up. And it's costing them financially because they're losing money, because they're losing subscribers, and they're losing because people just are realizing they're only getting one side of stuff. So it's that, this is very interesting. I mean, this is a disintegration into chaos on multiple fronts. So I think we're pretty well done with COVID, although the World Health Organization keeps saying, oh, but there might be some more virulent strains coming along, so you make sure you get the vax, and we want to increase in Africa the vaccination rate to 70%. It's only 20% in Africa. I was listening to John Palmer, I can't remember his name. He's a doctor in England. And he has a project in Ethiopia where they're helping out there. And he said, I saw this World Health Organization report about how they were going to keep pushing to get 70% of the people vaccinated in Africa. And he said, I talked to my Ethiopian people and they're like, there is no COVID in Ethiopia. But that's not going to stop us campaigning to get people vaccinated. It's so interesting. It's so interesting to watch. Lots of fun stuff. So it'll be interesting to see where we are next year, 2023. This is 2022. And there are a lot of pieces in play. But God is good. He's helped us. He'll guide us. I have a craft room. My craft supplies that I need to get taken care of. So I'm going to go do that. It is noon. It is noon on, what is this? Thursday, December 29th. And I'm pretty excited about the fact it's noon. And the reason I'm excited about the fact that it's noon is that I decided that I was going to see if it was even possible for me to combine my two fasts during a work week, because for the last several years, it's been I eat on Sunday night, I eat on Tuesday night, I eat on Thursday night, and then I just don't eat while I'm at work. But better things happen when you get to 52 hours of fasting, and so I thought, well, you know, is there any way that I could just not eat on Tuesday night as well? I tried it in the ramp up to Thanksgiving. I was off on Thursday morning for Thanksgiving, and so that was better because I got up. I was really lightheaded that Thursday morning of Thanksgiving, but I had made it to about 10 o'clock, so it was whatever, 84 hours, because it was 3.5 days is what it was. So I'm going to see if I can make it plus 90 hours. So plus 90 hours will mean I can eat at 5. And if this is fine, then maybe once a quarter I'll start doing, you know, the 90 plus hour fast where I stop eating on Sunday night and then start eating Thursday at 5. So it's soon now. It's soon. I'm already starting to get happy. So happy New Year, everyone. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home. That's another project I should work on. I should try to work on fixing my remote control. Maybe we'll try to do that today. Have a great New Year, everyone.